When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And... Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Welcome to my show, Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. I recognize that we all have different definitions of success. For you, it may be the size of your paycheck. Mine is inspiring people to develop a plan to reach their dreams. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start writing your own. You can only exceed expectations by believing in yourself. People always talk about purpose or gifts. If you have a gift, lead with your gifts and don't let your friends, family, or coworkers stop you from planning or living your dreams. My guest is John Clarence Stewart, an Atlanta native. He co-starred on the acclaimed hit series P-Valley on Starz. Also starred on the NBC winning show Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. The movie Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas just got 2 Emmy nominations for Outstanding Television Movie and Outstanding Choreography for Scripted Programming. He plays a totally different character on P-Valley. P-Valley, which airs on Starz, is an engrossing drama of family, friendship, and survival. The season, the richly crafted series is about trust and betrayal while also facing the aftermath of decisions from season one. The second season introduced a new character called Big Teak, played by the one and only John Clarence Stewart. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass for the second time. I will call him a friend, John Clarence Stewart. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
First of all, you know, let's go back to Zoe before we get diving into P-Valley. You was this suave, cool guy, always smiling, you know, flirtatious on this show. And let's talk about that show and the big opportunity it gave you, because we've seen you on other series, Marvel, but this is an ongoing major role opportunity on NBC, one of the great flagship networks. Talk about that opportunity and what it did for your career being on Zoe.
Zoe's changed a lot of things for me. I was, in a lot of ways, I was unknown, right. Though I'd done a lot of work before, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know how it goes. You can work at something for a long time and a large swath of the population may not know your work or know right. who you are. Mm-hmm. It's part of what it is. Mm-hmm. But Zoe's was also very much out of my comfort zone. Like I auditioned for the show. I knew it was a musical. It was kind of a shot in the dark because I'd never done something like that before. Right. Mm-hmm. And each step of the way, it was, you know, me working with people I hadn't worked with before. It was dancing. It was singing. It was what I loved to do as an actor, stay outside of my comfort zone. And the response was beautiful. That Zoe's actually came out in pandemic time.
Yes, it did.
And it became kind of this show, this lighthouse for a lot of different people as they were moving through the beginning parts of the pandemic, this like beacon of joy. And so it was wonderful to be associated with that as well. And then we went in to shoot season 2 and Simon's arc got a little more personal for me. Yes. And I was really excited about that happening in season 2. Being able to perform songs like Black Man in a White World.
Yes.
You know, with Nina Simone is one of my favorites, mm-hmm. Favorite artists ever. And mm-hmm. being able to you know, lend my voice to the story using her song is, it's kind of, it was a dream come true for me. So personally, it meant a lot. It also did a lot for me professionally. And yeah, and I think, you know, it would be, I'd be remiss to say that I think that, you know, Big T and my work on P-Valley, mm-hmm. Sometimes it somehow resonates a lot more because it's so varied from Simon, the character that I played.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's what really impresses people, you know, because everybody can play a role. You know, if you're a comedian, you're funny, you know what I'm saying? But let's put it this way. That was like a white collar opportunity. If you were just putting jobs out there, and this was straight street. This was straight urban. This was straight around the corner, make you nervous type character. Well, you had this other guy, you know, if that character from Zoe walked down the street, you know, you just keep walking. Hi there. You know, Big T come out the street. I may walk on the other side of the street. You know what I'm saying? Worried about what's going on with this brother. Who is he talking to? Why is he mad at the world? Is he looking at me? I'll be trying to push my whole family to the other side of the street. So with that being said, how did the casting opportunity come your way for something that was so extreme to what we had seen and became very excited about in your career development on Zoe?
Well, I know the credit for that goes to my agents. They got the appointment. Mm-hmm. I read the script, mm-hmm. and I read the sides, and I fell in love with. I already love Katori Hall. I'm very familiar with her work from New York and all mm-hmm. of this. But the character specifically intrigued me because I understood him. Mm-hmm. There is a pain that he mm-hmm. felt familiar in some ways. And though there were a lot of things that are different, you know, in our upbringings, in our lives, et cetera, right. mm-hmm. there is this commonality. And one of the audition scenes that landed with me heavily was the scene in episode 4 where Tika's talking about, you know, the world not being made or not wanting him, the world not right. wanting him. Right. And I read that and I was moved to tears. And mm-hmm. I thought, I have to throw my hat in the ring. I have to audition for this. And I had not seen a character on television say something that encapsulated my experience like this. And I was just like, wow. And then I auditioned. Mm-hmm. I sent in a tape. I actually went on vacation at that time. I went to Hawaii mm-hmm. with my girlfriend uh-huh. and we were in Hawaii. We were finishing up our first Airbnb and I had a callback with Katori and Barb, who directed the first episode. And in that conversation, we did some work and stuff like that. We talked about the characters. And the character Teak for me is, he just reminds me of so many men that I know. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of people that I grew up with. Reminds me of people whose stories I haven't seen honored. And I felt a call and a responsibility to him.
Well,
and,
you know the grittiness of that character. You know, I'm a big fan of Oz back in the day. You know, that grittiness. You know,
yeah.
And so yeah. because that television show exposed us. So I was, you know, I've never spent any time in jail. I've never done any type of street activity that would even put me in his same neighborhood activity. I come from the hood, but I moved out of the hood. But mm-hmm. watching Oz and watching that. The energy of that particular show and then watching your character, it was like watching a version of that. Like you stepped out of Oz. If I was your character was that credible to me. That wow, mm-hmm. he has a lot of pain because I knew where you came from. I knew the violence. I knew the torture, the hidden secrets of not being able to tell people who you were, but dealing with the consequences of what that could happen behind bars. Then coming out and then seeing the world that you came into was that they want black men. Mm. That was the shocking part for your character to me was like, I've never spent a day behind bars. And I asked that question and you felt like your character to me was like, was I safer behind bars or not? So am I hitting the parallel correct in what you were trying to generate for me as a viewer?
I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, so much of what Teak was moving through, he was Katori Hall's mouthpiece, right? And there are certain things that she wanted to say, and I felt very strongly that she chose this character to say certain specific things about the world that we're living in now.
Right.
But Teak, like you said, he's in prison and he comes out, and the way that it lands on me is that there's no place for him. There's no place for him in the world. There's no place for him in the world at large. And then you get to see, as the story goes on, that there's really no place for him even in the intimate world.
Right.
So like they're really, he's a displaced black man in the world.
Yes,
and,
he is.
You know, and when you have someone that has been in prison and been in the hole, mm-hmm. and, you know, has kind of had an entire ecosystem that in the entire ecosystem unto mm-hmm. himself that he's had to, you know, adapt to in order to survive. And then he's thrust out into the world.
Right.
The world is very different from the ecosystem that he'd been living in for this amount of time. And that is jarring. That is, and to me as a black man myself, like you're saying, mm-hmm. I feel like that on a consistent basis, you know. That was one of the things that did connect me to the role and to the character's story. This idea that of not being wanted in the world and the world not being made for someone like me.
Wow.
And yeah.
We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushan McDonald. Now let's return to Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushan McDonald.
You know, I'm talking to John Clarence Stewart, an Atlanta native, one of the stars of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist on NBC, Emmy-nominated show, and also one of the current stars of P-Valley. This is airs on Stars every Sunday night. I said, I'll be ready. I'm going to tell you something. One scene that you did, man, John, when you broke up that table, man, in that hotel room, I was afraid for everybody in that room. I didn't know if this was the psychotic break that I was waiting on, that you were going to hurt somebody.
Mm.
Because you took it there. I mean, the physicality of that moment, because you look like you are a tortured spirit. You know, you didn't come out of the prison cut up. You come out of the prison looking like a guy who just got out of prison. You know what I'm saying? Who thought a life was waiting on him. Every time you had an idea, it was shot down. Every time you wanted to do something creative, it wasn't met with any positive results. And then you watching the world just change right in front of your eyes, and all you could react was violently. That's what you were taught in jail. So talk about that moment and setting it up, and how did the other actors and actresses react in real life to that scene?
I mean, you know, in real life, everybody was incredibly on board. They knew what the scene was,
uh-huh.
what we needed to do.
Right.
Actually,
hey, you know, John, they know what they got to do, but then when they see it start happening,
we did the, you know, we do the rehearsal, we go through all of the, yeah. the you know, we do the stunts, we do the, you know, this is the table, this is the all of that work, right? And then we do the walkthrough, you
right.
know, and for the actor, that's like, at least for me, that's a really important time to try it and to go there and to see what happens. And I think that everybody was, it's in the script. Like so much of it it's in the text.
Right.
Everybody read it. And I think, but it was different. It was different to be there in the flesh and to have this very sensitive and raw open wound of a black man responding to everybody's numbness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that was paramount with Katori is that she wanted to make sure that we articulated in the show that the black experience is not a monolith, that
right.
everybody has a different experience of the things that are happening in the world. It's just that with Teak, because of where he'd been and because of, you know, how he was consuming black death through right. through the telephone, it's a very specific way of seeing, of consuming black death, very specific way. And he had never done that.
Right.
And so, everybody else, they've done that before. Mm-hmm. They're kind of conditioned now, as we all are to some extent. We're conditioned to that way of processing that trauma, even re-traumatizing ourselves as we're watching it. There's articles about it, et cetera, but Teek had never experienced it. He doesn't have the tools.
Right.
I think also with Teek, you're looking at someone who he's experiencing so much inside, but he doesn't have the tools to communicate it, to transmute it, to make it into anything else. And the only thing he can do is kind of steward it.
Right.
And it's not until, like, you know, and you look at even right up until like the pinch that begets that scene, mm-hmm. this moment where Rome turns the TV off, a very like primal moment, a moment of like, you know, that Rome even talks about. He says, you know, he talks about like, did I commit a correctional facility faux pas? This is like all of this pain and all of this rage.
Right.
Looking at, you know, you're looking at a behavior. And the closest outlet to that, the closest outlet for this tea kettle to release steam is through this route. And then Rome says the things about like his uncle and what he says about, right. you know, what if it's his fault and what did he do? And he's a black man, he's a big guy. So all of these different things, and Teek doesn't make sense. It's so clear.
Yeah.
Justice is so clear.
Yeah. It's really clear. It's really clear in a lot of ways when I look at what you're doing. I'm speaking to John Clarence Stewart. He plays the character Big Teek on the series P-Valley. The thing about it is that
when it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
There's such an authenticity to the series, the language, the environment, you know, it's a fear factor. You know, a reason I really love the series is that we're telling our story, a version of our story, which we should be all right. You know, 20 years old black people, you can't tell us that. We don't want to be talking like that. You know, and they still kind of complain. But this is a story. This is TV. This is a movie. This is a series. Why can't we do that? And the beauty of being able to do this today is what excites me, because that allows us to really push our creative outlets. The relationship that Rome had with you was always like, does he really know who he's talking to? That, to me, engaged me as a viewer. Like, but the thing about that I liked about where the scripts went was they never went where I thought they were going to go, which is great storytelling, which is great acting. Because you and Rome never got into anything physical. And I just knew you go take him out. Mm. I just knew that. And so, and I, like I said, when you walk through the scene, I'm just going to give you credit for what credit is. When I watch something on TV, I've been blessed. I watch a lot of great acting. I've cast a lot of great people over the years. Been in the industry on the other side of the casting when this was 94. And so, and so I've seen the talent, Gabrielle Union. I've seen the Kevin Harts. I've seen the Jamie Foxx. I've seen the Moniques, the Robert Townsend, the Steve Harveys. I've seen, the list is really, really long. And that scene in that hotel room, which I'm going to go back to, because I know that you could rehearse something, but you took it to a sense of force, which I think is important. A force. You are a force in that scene that when you left the room, it was a relaxation that nothing violent happened. That's how big you were in that moment, John. That Big T character was like, wow, we're all alive. We're all breathing. Oh, because it was just that powerful. And so that's what I was just saying is that I know y'all rehearsed it, but I got to give you credit where credit's due. When you take a moment and you scare us as viewers, because we emotionally engaged now. We emotionally don't want anything to happen to nobody. We know you the guy in here that could potentially create that harm, even to Lil Murder, even to Mississippi. Rome, I can care less because he's an asshole, okay? So if he go, he go, okay? But then, you know, that's life. You did it, man. And so that's what I was saying is that even though they knew, what was the gentleman, the director walked up to you and the other cast members, the set people, what were their reactions to that scene?
Thank you. Everyone's reaction to the scene will usually when I work there, and specifically in a scene like that, I like to stay in a certain kind of headspace.
Right.
I like to stay in a certain headspace.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, until we finish shooting it, I think it helps. I think it helps everybody. Uh-huh. For me, I don't believe in being an asshole, so right. I don't do that. But I do kind of stay to myself and kind of stew in whatever is happening in the scene and what the character is moving through. And I think that everybody kind of honored that. Everybody honored
right.
that, you know, because they knew that where I needed to go.
Right.
And they knew that that it was essential for the telling of the story that T go to that place. I think also to that point, when we talk about the explosivity and the force and all of that of T, I just also want to highlight the fact that there was in that chaos, there was still restraint because a man like him could have put hands on anybody.
Yes.
And yet he didn't. He put his foot through a table. So in the midst of all of that kind of, there is still, and it may seem like it was, you know, even for the character, like, but there was still a choice. There was still a decision not to do a thing. Right. Mm-hmm. To not go to that place specifically when it was Skyler's character. It was just like very, very.
It was amazing.
We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald. Now let's return to Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald.
You know, I've seen a lot of television shows do the COVID experience, and none have I seen it done so real. So this is really how it happens. This is how my COVID experience is. This is how it felt very relatable. I wanted to say that. Now let's talk about the scripts before we move any further. When you got this specific dialogue, were you thrown off by the dialogue? Did you have to have any coaching with the dialogue? Was there a certain flavor that you had to bring to the dialogue when you were looking at the scripts that were being presented to you for each episode?
No, I wasn't thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, you know, watching the first season, this is written very intentionally.
Yes.
You know, it's mm-hmm. very with a dialect that's specific to Chocolisa and all of these folks.
Right.
There was dialect work that I had to do, and they do have dialect coaches on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Work with one of them, like a little bit here and there. I would speak through a few things, and they give me some notes as far as elongating a vowel here, or you know, making sure that things were a little more chopped up or smoothed out here and there. Because one of the big access points for the audience is the lyricism and the language of the show.
Yes, it is
part of how people know. It's part of how people feel taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of how people feel like, oh, this is not, this is for me.
Right.
And it's like, this is for me. Mm-hmm. And so being intentional about that, you know, before getting on set, right? Because you do all that work and then you get on set so that and you let all that stuff go and you show up and you tell the story as best as you can.
Well, I would be honest with you, I watch the show closed caption, okay? I'm not missing anything. So I ain't gonna lie to you, John. I'm 100% closed caption, brother. I'm closed caption. What you ain't gonna have me do with John is struggle.
You ain't gonna catch me now.
I am 100% closed caption, brother. Them words come on the screen. Yeah. I'm listening, but I'm reading. I'm reading them like I'm looking at a French movie. Yeah. You ain't gonna get me, brother, with that. Oh, Rashawn. Rashawn ain't gonna lie to you, brother. I'm at closed captioning every episode, brother. Every episode of P-Valley, I'm closed captioning, man. Because I don't want to miss. I want to stay engaged. I want to be involved. But the episode, you know, where you got the car as a gift and then you started peeling back some of the trauma from your childhood, the violence and all that stuff, and we get to tell us see why you are like you are to a certain degree. We've seen you being emotionally kind of like kicked to the curb because you didn't expect that coming in your relationship with Lil Murda, and so it just builds up to a moment where you know we've seen domestic violence on this series and it's being handled out, and you got to have all these advisories at the end of the show and the episode that you're in, they got to have advisories at the end of the show because it is happening. It is happening in the Black community. The gay community is being recognized as in the Black community. Like I was told when Nico was on the show, I said, I can tell you when I was growing up, I couldn't acknowledge that my uncle or cousin was gay because I didn't know because we never really brought them into the world. We never accepted their values, accepted their lifestyle because we were told that they were different and they walked on from there. Now, with a show like this, you're able to see and accept a different lifestyle and kind of understand it. Understand it, and I'm not saying you have to go there and participate, but at least understand it. With these type of shows that you're engaged in, what is your biggest walk away from P-Valley?
I mean, that there is nothing better than authenticity.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing better than authenticity, and in order to tell a story, you have to, in my opinion, do whatever you need to do on behalf of the character. And and there's also something very important, you know, when it comes to authenticity, when it comes to the Black community, when it comes to the kind of storytelling that resonates with the Black community. Because the thing is, we've seen ourselves on screens for a long time. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, who's telling the story, mm-hmm. and whether or not the Black bodies in the story are pawns or people. And we are fortunate enough to be inside of a world created by Katori and the producers and the writer's room that's, you know, unparalleled, where they are infusing such humanity and life in every person in this story. So all of the characters, you know, everybody is fully realized with a history and with, you know, but nobody is perfect. They're fully realized. No one's perfect. Everyone's making mistakes. Everyone's trying their best. And that is the kind of story that is so essential and so attractive to me. You know, as an actor, there is something about... I mean, my dad was a pastor.
Right.
Right. And I feel very... called into storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
This is my way of serving. This is my way of serving
awesome.
My community.
Awesome.
This is my way of serving characters. Mm-hmm. And I endeavor to use my instrument to serve in every way that I can.
Well, congratulations, yeah. man. As soon as I saw that episode, I asked if I could get you on the show, and I feel blessed that we're having this honest interview because my goal in my life is to be able to be a messenger. You know, and we all have our roles, and to be able to have an honest conversation, to have a safe place where people and actors can come, they're not being ambushed by silly questions or embarrassing opportunities. It's about you guys are our new stars. You guys are people who are moving narratives that need to be told, told. But I want to congratulate you for back-to-back great series here, man. Zoe was fantastic. I enjoyed you. This show here was even more fantastic, P-Valley, because of the fact that it felt like home. It felt like finally I'm able to see my story, tell my story, participate in my story, and brag about it. I remember when I was way back when I was, I'm going back some years, when Miami Vice was on way back in 85, 86. And I used to come to work when I was at IBM and tell everybody, you got to watch Miami Vice. Woo! You got to watch Miami Vice. Brother, that's what I'm doing with P-Valley. I'm telling everybody, I'm screaming, you got to watch. Sunday night, you're not doing anything. You got to turn it on Stars. You got to watch P-Valley. The acting is fantastic. The authenticity is on, is beyond reproach. It's amazing what y'all are doing. And I'm excited. And we here's the beauty of this interview. Never even talked about the dancing. That's how great this show is, brother. That I can sit up here and talk to you the entire time, and we never go there because this show has a great A story, B story, C story, D story. It can only get there through great writing on P-Valley and great acting. And my brother, you are a great actor. Thank you for coming on Money Making Conversation Masterclass.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon. If you want to see or hear this interview, please go to moneymakingconversation.com. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I am your host.